Welcome to Shades of Spirit with me, psychic medium Jamie.
And me, spirit walker Nicole, making sacred connections, bringing a shade of spirit to you.
In this live call-in variety show, we are going to take the fear out of spirit communications. We talk about all things spirit related. As we connect you with your crossed over loved ones, angels, and guides, we will provide useful tips for developing your own psychic and healing abilities to integrate these techniques into your everyday life and have fun in the process.
Because if it ain't fun, we're done. Shades of Spirit starts now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shades of Spirit. I am psychic medium Jamie.
Spirit walker Nicole.
We are super stoked, you guys. Super stoked. You guys know that we don't just let anyone on Shades of Spirit Radio, right? Or even Eye of Soul Radio. But we were fortunate enough to have taken a trip to the beautiful island of Catalina a couple weeks ago. Family trip, right? Everyone get together and just huddle up, get on that boat and head over. And an interesting thing happened. We were over in Dana Point, right? That's where we dock to get on the boat. And they have, of course, you know, the flyers you can pick out of all the activities to do. And we actually had activities planned. And of course, you guys know us. I saw Haunted and immediately went to that particular flyer, got on the boat, looked at my family, who, yes, they all know what kind of woohoos we are over here. And I said, wouldn't this be fun? And my mom said, book that. So actually on the boat from Dana Point over to Catalina, I rearranged our entire trip to do this haunted ghost tour. And that's, you know, cool because at the same time, a whole family wanted to go. So that's extra special for me. So at the same time, I'm moving around the flying fish tour to get this tour over here and let's move this one over there. Also that we could do this haunted ghost tour. So we show up to this haunted ghost tour, right? And we've done ghost tours in the past, right, Spirit Walker Nicole?
We have.
And they hand us headsets, which I love that.
Oh, that was really good. It's just because that's always a worry that, like, you know, like you're not gonna be able to keep up or you're too fast or the person's not talking loud enough. I love this.
It worked really well, you guys. So the best part about this is that my dad, for a lot of you know, has had health issues and he was in the wheelchair through this entire trip, was actually able to join us. So if you have someone that is in that space, they're able to join you because the trip is all in flatland, but then he also has hearing aids. So he actually got to wear the headset and hear, explain all of the nuances of Catalina Island and the haunted places. And that was extra special. So first of all, shout out to that group because that really did make it so that everyone in our party felt included. So that was a number one thing for me that I really enjoyed of that trip. The second part was the fun knowledge and the quirky gentleman that we're going to invite here in just a minute, Charles Lydell, who is the, I want to say, grandmaster of Catalina. Giving you a new name when you come on here. He is currently the island historical and the official greeter.
Historian.
He is full of historical facts, though. He born and raised on Catalina Island as well, along with about 1,000 other things under his belt. So without any further ado, should we bring on Chuck?
Absolutely.
Let's bring on Chuck, shall we? Yay! All right. Welcome, Chuck. Thank you so much for joining Spirit Walker Nicole and myself tonight. And again,
I cannot be more honored.
Oh my gosh, it's an honor for us. It just gives me the chills to think how the spirit world works and how we ended up on your tour that night and the stories and the connections that we made and how personal it all became so quickly. And to give, you know, messages and validation and to be able to learn and just for me to be able to do with my family was just a special moment as well. But I want you to, because I have, you guys, this whole entire like 3 pages of notes that I took in a conversation with Chuck of all the things that he does, has been on, what's he doing now. So introduce yourself so I don't miss anything.
Okay. I am Chuck Lydell, not the UFC fighter, but the other Chuck Lydell. For those that are wondering, I'm not him. Also, I was born on the island on May 24th, 1947. I have been a tour guide doing the casino. I've also been a bus driver on the island. I've had all kinds of jobs, but the present one I have is doing the present tour that I'm doing now, Haunted Catalina, for the last 8 years. And I am very honored to be able to announce that I think I did on the tour, that 4 years ago, it was voted one of the top 10 ghost tours in the United States by TripAdvisor and also USA Today. So I really try hard, number one, to make it legitimate, to make it real. Nothing I make up is just for the sake of getting people to go ooh and ah, which a lot of people do. And I try to make it entertaining and, as you said, easy to do. I was so happy that the gentleman got out of the wheelchair. I thought somehow I had healed him, which I said, this has gone on to a much higher level than I did, if you remember.
Oh my God. We were still laughing about that when we got back to the hotel room, because the poor guy was walking all those stairs where we were staying. But as soon as he got up, your face was fantastic. And that would have been a miraculous moment for sure. I think all he really needed to do was run around the corner and use the restroom to come back to the tour. So,
but because of his headphones, he was able to stay on the tour and continue to hear the tour, which is the reason we do it. So if somebody has an emergency or needs to stop for any reason, the tour goes on for them and they'll be able to find us. All they have to do is follow the blue earphones. So anyway, I also taught at Illinois State University and also taught at Indiana University, which is where my story starts regarding my brother.
And this is where, so Chuck has been, you know, this, you're a professor at, you know, of trade, and yet had this profound experience with his brother's passing. And this we kind of got on topic with. And what was interesting is we were walking. I don't usually tune in because that's not my place. I'm not walking around just giving random people readings, as you guys know. It's an infringement on free will. But Chuck and I had already kind of had this conversation going and asked me to kind of tune into the information that he was giving from the haunted tour to see what I was picking up on. And I did pick up three individuals, one of them being a male, which we found out later to be his brother. So kind of explain to everybody, you know, as we can on radio time, kind of what that aha moment was for you in regards to really connecting with the paranormal.
Well, first, when I found out about the two of you, I was overwhelmed. This happens on occasion that somebody who makes a profession of this, I do, but I'm doing a tour, not studying it. So I need to pick up new information. So whenever I get two people like you, that I know have a not only a grasp, but live it and study it all the time. Number one, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little humble because they're on my tour. And number two, as I say to anyone on the tour, I'm here to learn because I have had experiences that I cannot explain. And by the way, your explanation to me was one of the warmest feelings I have ever had in 47 years. You put it in a perspective that I have not been able to do for 47 years. So I want to begin by thanking you for inviting me on the program, but also for that insight that I asked you to give me if you got it, and you got insight that just really, really helped me deal with this. So thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now tell them your story of how we came to this insight by the end.
Well, okay. So this all happened on January 21st, 1974. I was teaching communication at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, and I was in a basement apartment, and my father and brother were here on the island. And I got a phone call around midnight on January 21st from my father up in the hospital informing me that he had just found my brother's body. My brother was 24, Bill. I was 26 and a half at the time. So, you know, I'm 74, so it's been a few years. And he informed me that my brother had just committed suicide. Needless to say, I was in shock. And Dad said, please come home as quickly as you can. I need to have you here with me. Well, with my mind still half blown, If any of you have been through these situations, you understand that your brain, like a computer, sort of says, I've taken in more than I can handle right now. I need a need to be rebooted or something. So then I'm hit with the second one. The second one came with the doctor, dad's doctor, coming on the phone and saying, Chuck, we really need to have you here because your father is 71, has a lot of medical issues, and we're afraid he's going to take his life tonight because he's so upset about finding your brother. So I'm going to give him a shot, sedate him, knock him out, and I really need to have you here first thing tomorrow morning from Indiana, because when he comes to, I really have to have a family member here with him. And I was the only family member left. Bill and I were siblings, and my mother had divorced my father. So I was the only one. So taking all that into my little pre-computer brain of 47 plus years ago, it was midnight. I was in bed. I was awakened by this call. But I think the viewers would understand that I was not planning to go back to sleep right away. I was obviously crying for Bill, trying to figure out who's going to take over my classes. How am I going to pay for this trip? It wasn't as easy as it is now on the computer. So in my basement apartment, my front door lines up with a hallway. And across the top of the door is a security chain link. Okay. And I heard it rattling. And I thought, oh gosh. Oh gosh. Somebody's trying to break into my apartment. And I remember saying to myself, this is not a good night. Not laughing, but just, you know, kind of trying to get over one shock from another. Now, anybody that teaches students especially knows how much paperwork we clutter in our rooms. And I didn't have enough room on the dining room table, so I put them all on the floor in the living room. So it was the door, the living room, and then my bedroom. That's how the room lined up. Well, I heard the papers rattling. And I said, oh gosh, somebody has officially broken into the room. Now, don't ask me why. Obviously, this whole thing was a nightmare beyond belief. I sat up in my bed and I pulled the sheets up underneath my neck. Like, wow, this is gonna really protect me against anything that comes into my room. I don't know why I did. So I was sitting up with my sheet under my neck, waiting to see who was gonna come into my bedroom. And it wasn't a who, it was a what. It was a white haze. It settled at the foot of the bed. From there, up came a white orb about the size of a volleyball. And in the orb, I heard my brother's voice. And my brother said, Chuck, if I knew then what I know now, I never would have taken my life. He said, Chuck, I give you a commission. You have to let people know how much they are loved. That is verbatim. Even the word commission, which I thought was very strange because I had never heard my brother use the word commission. But when I heard commissioned, I thought this is big time. Well, after getting over another shock, I then made up my mind that this whole thing was my brain playing games with me. That I wanted Bill to be alive so much that I made up this whole concoction of a story just to make myself feel better.
Which a lot of us do. We do have those moments that we think that we're making it up. But then you got validation when you went back
home. I got two validations. Number one, I thought I had never told anyone the story until I was at a friend's funeral 3 years ago. And for some reason, we were kicking around these type of stories. I don't know if that's normal at funerals, but we did. And the niece of the woman who the funeral was for, she said, "Chuck, don't you remember you called me immediately after it happened? I was in Minnesota. You told me the entire story. I do not remember making that phone call," but obviously she now had the validation, because being wide awake, I told her the entire story. So, okay. The next morning, I took the first flight back from Indianapolis to LAX. An ex-teacher met me there, rushed me down to the port of Long Beach. They had a speedboat there for me because the boats in those days took 2.5 hours. I didn't have that much time. They rushed me over to the center of the town of Avalon. For those of you that know it, there's a green pier. We call it the Pleasure Pier, the Green Pier. They had a hearse there to meet me. They rushed me up to the hospital. I ran into Dad's hospital room, and luckily he was still out. But as I sat in a chair waiting for him to come to, I noticed on the sideboard of his bed a white piece of paper. And Dad had drawn something on the white piece of paper. Dad was a 1924 Caltech graduate in civil and mechanical engineering. So he was very big on drawing ideas or drawing things. And all I saw was a straight line, a squiggly mark, and then at the top, it looked like a ball that he had drawn something inside of. It seriously made no sense to me. I didn't click right away. So I sat there, and Dad came to, and of course, the first reaction we had was to cry, hug each other, kiss each other. I mean, you know, we had to get over initially the shock of Bill dying the night before. So when things calmed down, I said, "Dad, will you please tell me what was on that white piece of paper?" And he said, "Chuck, if I do, you're going to think I am completely out of my mind." I said, "After last night, do you honestly think I wouldn't believe anything by this time?" He said, "Okay, I'll tell you what happened. Right after I got off the phone with you and before the doctor came and gave me the shot," he said, "into my hospital room," he called it, "a white cloud came into the room. It settled at the foot of his hospital bed. From there," he said, "a white ball about the size of a volleyball started spiraling until it got to Dad's eye level." Dad was sitting up in bed because he just called me. And he said, "When the ball got to his eye level, he saw my brother's face. And he heard my brother say to him, 'Dad, I don't feel pain anymore.' Then Dad said to me, 'I'm crazy, aren't I?' And I said, 'Dad, if you're crazy, join the club.' Because at exactly the same moment that Bill came to you in your hospital bed here on Catalina Island, he came to me 2,600 miles away in a basement apartment in the same form and at the same time." So that was my initial experience.
That gives me the absolute chills.
Every time.
Because people, this does happen, you guys. This is what you guys come and ask us about and want to know. And for you, you got some peace in knowing that, yes, the way energy works is just that. We no longer have any constraints in our human body. And we are able to separate in spirit form in multiple places. It isn't just the angelic realm that can be. The angels can be in multiple places at one time, right? So if you call on Archangel Michael, he's going to be to you, but he's also going to be to hundreds of other people, if not thousands. Our loved ones can do that. And for him to be so strong in that standpoint of getting that message to both of you at the same time is absolutely amazing and beautiful at the same time.
Well, the thing that's interesting, since then I've been doing a little bit of research. This what happened is scientific. Einstein came up with the theory that time was not a constant. it was based on speed. So the faster you go, the less time it takes. So for a spirit to travel 2,600 miles simultaneous, it does not have to take any time. There is not a time constraint as we have in our world with the spirits. They're beyond time and space. But again, it's scientific. The same thing when I explain about the fact that we see ghosts, that I talk about being energy field, because physics tells us that energy cannot be destroyed. It might take another form, but it cannot be destroyed, and it could stay the same form. Mm-hmm. So when you start getting into the scientific world, you realize all this is covered.
That's what's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating on that side of it. Now, speaking of ghosts and your tour, Spearwalker Nicole.
Yes.
Your favorite part of the tour.
I mean, there were multiple. Sally.
Trash Can Sally. Now, explain what you were thinking.
I don't know why. I have no idea why, of all the things you talked about, this was my favorite thing. Maybe it's because we were walking in the alley by the dumpster, I just loved it. I loved it. If you can tell the trash can story or Trash Can Sally story.
Okay. Well, I had to explain to the people that although I've been doing the tour for 8 years, obviously it modifies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am basically I'm not conjuring up, but I am making the possibility, I would say, of spirits to materialize, because I'm giving them their due. Mm-hmm. And the ones over on Catalina like to be talked about, because every time I see them, they have a big smile on their face. I am not making this up at all. They like the attention, and boy, do I give them attention. So I have to modify my tour based on what may have just happened the night before. So what Nicole's talking about is something that had occurred about 3 years ago, when I had 36 people on my tour. I had a psychic on the tour, and we were walking through the alley, which makes it sound a very high class tour. If you remember, we went from a bar, to a one way alley, the wrong direction in the alley. So I tell people, you know, I pull out all the stops. This is a first class tour.
If you can't go to a haunted bar or allegedly haunted bar through a back alley the wrong way to
Are
some dumpsters,
you even on a haunted tour?
You're not on a haunted tour, Chuck. So that's what we expect in that. So yes,
but I always laugh about it, because people expect to have a tour clean, and you know, again, they're paid. Well, I know, but I'm just saying, so many people do. In fact, we have people that are upset they have to walk. They said, aren't you going to drive us around town? And I said, I can't drive you. Well, anyway, the point is, I make a joke of the fact that we're now walking down a dirty alley the wrong way. So I had a psychic on my tour. And when we got to the Glenmore Hotel, which is also haunted with Clark Gable, the psychic stopped me and she said, Chuck, who is Trash Can Sally? And I remember looking at her and I said, Trash Can Sally, where did you come up with that name? She said, as we were walking by the open bins, I saw a woman, a spirit going through the garbage. And you're supposed to ask them what their name is. Mm-hmm. And I did. And she said, my name is Trash Can Sally. Now, you talk about getting chills. I got major chills, because I knew Trash Can Sally back in the 1950s. She was our Avon lady. Her name was Sally Lopez. She loved going through other people's garbage and would often come up with some very interesting things that people discarded, but she, you know, they were, you know, in a sense, treasures. And what really shocked me is I had not heard that name since the 1950s. I'm 74, a long time ago. As far as I know, I was the only one alive on the island that knew her by the name Trash Can Sally. So to have this psychic come up with that. I know you just don't make up a name, Trash Can Sally. Describe what she's doing. And also, why would she? I mean, it would have a very limited appeal to me, but believe me, it really caused a shiver. And by the way, I had another experience that I don't know if you were there when it happened. Were you there when the boy blurted out that name? That
no.
Okay, this is last week, so I'm updating my material. Not my material, but what? Okay, I didn't tell everybody on the tour, but I was going to end up by telling UFO stories. Okay. So I said, if we have time, I will. I was looking over the channel to try to find the color of the UFO, as you remember, it went on your mm-hmm. tour.
Yep.
I didn't say I'm looking for a color. All I said was I'm looking for something. And this 12-year-old boy blurts out green. And that was exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for something lime green. And I stopped the tour immediately. And I said to the young boy, why did you blurt out green? I mean, where, he said, I don't know. It just came to me. So I think we had a psychic moment there.
I love it. Okay, we got 2 minutes before we go to break. Now, okay. he's going to tell us his UFO story as well, you guys. What I love on our page is I actually noticed when I was doing some research on you when we came back that Uh-oh. Our good friend Karen Berg actually had put a comment on your page. And she's actually watching us today. And her comment to you was, hi, Chuck from Catalina. He is a wonderful historian of Catalina Island. So you actually have a fan from your own page already tuned in to our show tonight, which is great, which leads me to, as we go to break, Chuck, how can people find you? What type of, you're on Facebook. How can they look you up? How can they book these tours with you?
Okay, all they have to do is look up Google Catalina Island, Haunted Catalina Tour, and they would be able to find the phone number that they can call. The days I only do the tours on Tuesday, Wednesday, so I'll be doing it right after our program, and then also on Friday and Saturday.
Perfect. And how do they find you? Do you have a page that you manage as well on Facebook?
No, but you can. Well, in fact, I'll do it now if you want me to.
Yeah.
How about if I give you my email and my cell phone? I would be more than happy for people.
Let's do it.
Okay. Do you have time before the break?
Yeah, we'll do it before the break, and then we'll cap it off again at the end. So,
okay. So if they want to call me, and I would love to talk to anyone, 310-753-1854. My email address is Chuck Liddell, chucklidell.catalina@gmail.com.
Perfect. All right, you guys, stay tuned. We have more from Chuck. We're going to be talking about some haunted stuff that we didn't get to hear on our tour about the casino. So if you guys know the casino in Avalon and Catalina, we're going to get some stories from there and Chuck's UFO story. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you living life, or is life living you? The destination may not be clear when we seek change, but we trust we cannot stay where we are. Healing and transformation coach Trish Campbell strengthens the mind-body-spirit connection. Diane McClay generates positive change by shifting perspective through choice. Get connected and gain clarity on The Shift podcast every first and third Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit invibe.ca for more info. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens, with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Welcome back to Shades of Spirit. I am psychic medium Jamie.
And Spirit Walker Nicole.
We are here with Charles Chuck Liddell. Again, not the wrestler, folks. Not the wrestler, though. Wouldn't that be an interesting one?
UFC.
Oh, UFC. See,
we'll have the get both of us on at the same time, and we'll have.
Wouldn't that be fun? We could have a conversation about UFC fighting and ghosts. Oh, absolutely fun, you guys. This is, you know, one of those things to where you're in the right place at the right time because spirit has orchestrated it. That really was where we were at. And it was interesting because we actually had to move our flying fish tour, which was super fun because we were able to see a sea turtle. We were able to see a seal playing in the boat. We had the flying fish and then the pelicans all in like this 3-minute span. The flying fish was the first fish to fly in our boat, which was so cool. But we would have missed all of that if we didn't see one flyer at Dana Point calling out my name, Haunted Catalina. Yes, we will be there. And at the same time, we were able to meet this fabulous gentleman who has such a wealth of knowledge, being, you know, someone who was born on the island. Now, we could get into Catalina history and all that other stuff, but we're all about Shades of Spirit. So we know we're all about the paranormal side of it. Now, of course, you can't get to every story, right, in one tour, but the casino. Like, what was your first, Spirit Walker Nicole, impression of the casino? Now, we haven't been able to take a tour inside because we left during the week. Mm-hmm. But just looking on the outside and the feeling and the energy of it.
Yeah, it was, you know, and just seeing it from the boat, it's striking. It's just, but it's, I don't think I knew it was a casino at first. I was just kind of like, but your attention is kind of drawn to it just because it's positioning and it's well-maintained and just it's sort of striking features. So I was fascinated with it from the start.
What about the energy of it?
It's just old timey for me. Which is a really cool thing because you don't get that so much anymore.
No. And for me, I have been to Catalina actually many years. So I actually went back. It's kind of weird to think that like I could have been on the island at the same time as Chuck Liddell because at Girl Scout camp would go to the other side of the island. And we would camp with the buffalo, right? So all the tents out there. Yeah. So I've been on that island forever. And in my 44 years, I started probably going out there at age 10. So, you know, who knows? I could have crossed paths with Chuck in a restaurant somewhere and never even known it. And here we are today. But that casino has always been a drawing point for me energetically. So I can't wait to hear a couple stories you have because we got to save room for your UFO story so that you can let me know why is it a psychic medium is so drawn to that casino and that area of Avalon.
Okay. To begin with, that was an Indian burial ground.
That explains it. Oh my goodness. Oh okay. My goodness.
Okay. Well, that's only a part of it. Then we're talking now about the building itself. Mm-hmm. The building is the equivalent of a 12-story office building. It was started in March of 1928, finished on May 29th, 1929. It is the first theater in the world built specifically for talking motion pictures. And the circular ballroom is the world's largest circular ballroom without any posts or pillars. So the point is, it is very unique. I know something can't be very unique, but this is very unique. So my first experience I had with this is when I used to do the tour of the casino. And for those of your listeners and watchers, if you walk into the lobby and make a quick right, you are at the snack bar. Now, I was doing 150 people each tour. I was doing three tours a day. So my voice would get very raspy. I had no microphone, no earphones. I was just out there blaring. So I would go up to the snack bar and drink some of the I don't drink alcohol. They didn't have any anyway, but the point is just something for my throat for my next tour. Now I felt something behind me and I turned around and in the lobby came a man. I would guess he was probably about my father's side, but I was about 5'6". He was wearing a three-piece brown woolen suit. And for some reason in my head, the date 1914 just popped into my head for no reason at all. I mean, it was a reason, but I didn't catch on right away. So as he was walking toward me, I said, "Sir, will you please wait? We haven't started the tour yet." He walked within 3 inches of me and he walked right through a wall made of black walnut wood. There's 2,600 board feet of black walnut wood in the lobby alone. He walked right through the wall 3 inches from me. We were both on that wall. Well, the funny part is it didn't bother me that he had walked through the wall. What bothered me is wearing a three-piece brown woolen suit in Catalina in August. Now, keep in mind the fact that the building did not go up until 1928. There was nothing there in 1914. The way he was dressed was, in retrospect, 1914. So in his timeline, or however you describe it, I talk about timelines, he was just walking out in that area and did not walk through a wall in his time period because there was no wall there for another 14 years. He walked through a wall in my time period, but not his.
There were people coming to the island then in 1914?
Oh, yes. The island has been, let's say, European taken over once Mexico sold it to the United States. So we have been having, if you want to say, Europeans here since the 1860s.
So what would 1914, have been... What would he have been doing down in that area? If there wasn't a casino, what would he be doing to be walking through that area? Because that's what spirits and ghosts will do, yes.
Okay. There were two large sugar loaves. And one of the sugar loaves, you could climb up a ladder and go to a platform where the flagpole is now. Okay. So they had a big sugar loaf and a little sugar loaf. So that was considered one of the neatest things to do, was to be able to climb up the stairs to the top of the Sugarloaf, look at the wonderful view, especially if you could see the lights from the mainland or see the mainland. And then a gentleman who I knew would charge the people 25 cents to help them down because they would panic. And it's easier to go up forward, but then to come back down, he would charge them 25 cents to get him down. So it was not at all unusual for people to be making that, not a pilgrimage, but to go out there just because it was a beautiful location and the sugar loaves were there.
That is a story which I will repeat because That is like the epitome of spirit.
That's so cool.
Being in their element, you understanding what they're wearing, the time frame, your claircognizance, one of our psychic gifts, your inner knowing of, I'm not sure why I know 1914, but I do, and putting it all together and knowing the history of the island. And yes, you guys, spirits do still walk those areas and still are in that space. So I love how you put it is that he didn't know he was walking through a wall. He's just doing what he's doing in 1914 in his suit, dressed to the Nile, right out there looking at how beautiful it is. And at the same time, you were honored enough to spend that space with him. All right, what else do you have about the casino? And then we'll go to your UFO story.
Okay, the second thing happened that same week. My 40-year-old godson, Arthur, was 16 at the time. And what his job was to be up at the top of the six ramps, or ramps in the casino, there are no stairs. He was outside of the women's restroom. And it was his job to get everybody out of my last tour so I could start my next one. So that was his job at 16. I don't remember what we paid him, but anyway, he loved doing his job. So I saw him after the first tour. I saw him after the second tour. I did not see him after the third tour. So I called his grandmother and said, Carolyn, where's Arthur? She said, I'm so glad you called. He just ran home crying. I said, Carolyn, he's 16. Arthur, you know, typical male macho. Arthur does not cry at 16. Put him on the phone. And I said, Arthur, what's the matter? He said, Uncle Chuck, you're not going to believe this. I said, I'll believe you. Calm down. What happened? He said, I was outside of the women's restroom and I saw a tall man standing there. And he described him brilliantly. He had these brown leather strap sandals, dark socks, Bermuda shorts, Hawaiian shirt, a camera strapped around his neck, and one of those stupid looking palm frond hats that we wore in the 50s. I tell people the 50s were probably the best decade in the world, except they didn't teach us how to dress. And that's the way we dressed in the 50s, okay. So he went up to the man and he said, sir, will you please join your group, leave the building because we're going to start another tour. He said the man looked like he was looking right through him, turned around and walked in the women's restroom, which, by the way, I have a lot of stories about the women's restroom. That is the most haunted room on the entire island, and the casino is the most haunted building. So anyway, he walks in the women's restroom. There's only one way in and one way out. There are no trap doors like there is in the men's restroom, because that's how the workmen get up to the tower and get up to do work. There's a catwalk, but not in the women's restroom, just very clearly in and out. So Arthur waited 5 minutes to give the man time, and then he thought maybe a woman might have gone in there before him. So he realized he needed to, you know, find out what went on. So he yelled, was there anyone there? Got no response, walked in, checked every inch of the place, all the stalls, could not find the man, ran home crying. So I said, Arthur, did the man hurt you or do anything to bother you in any way? And he said, no. And I said, congratulations, you just had your first ghost experience. So he was able to pick out, or able to feel the energy or see the energy of the man outside of the woman's restroom. But once he went inside, it dissipated, which is at least my reasoning of how he could see him now, but could not see him in another location.
Absolutely.
Definitely in the 1950s. I mean, so again, they couldn't communicate because this man definitely was in the 1950s.
We've got to go back, Spirit Walker Nicole, and do a tour on a weekend of that casino.
I love Chuck in so many ways, but like the fact he's like, oh, hey, congratulations. And then he's over here seeing dudes walk through walls and he's like, oh, well, that's weird. Anyway, moving on. It's like most people would like have to change their shorts and then go screaming from the building. Not Chuck. No, no.
Chuck's got it all dialed in. That is for sure. Now you have been on, because we've got to, I'll talk 1 minute about this because we got to hear your UFO story. You've been on 7 different TV shows.
Right. Well, three or four movies that are for sale here, and also a lot of the documentaries they've done. my most recent that I really liked, I mean, I like them all, of course. I don't get paid for it, but I still like them. The movie is called West of the West. It talks about all the eight Channel Islands. And of course, I'm the one that talks about Catalina. But I think that was one of the best ones that had ever been done. The other one would be Hollywood's Magical Island, Catalina. And I'm also all through that. So those are the two that I think if they want to learn about Catalina and see me, if heaven forbid, that they would be able to get both.
Now, what about the Travel Channel and the History Channel and Forensic Detective? What about those?
Okay, the Forensic Detective was very interesting because they contacted me and said there was a DJ whose body was found in your waters. And we have come up with who did it. And we wanted to come out officially on the program live. But in the meantime, we want to interview a local to see what you thought about this. Well, to be honest, I knew nothing about this DJ's body. It didn't wash up on the beach. It was just in the waters, you know, between Long Beach and Catalina. So it could have been miles out there. So I told them in advance, I know nothing about this, but from an islander's perspective, I would be happy to know that an islander did not kill this gentleman because we just don't do things like that here. So I made a little, that's basically what I was talking about from an islander's perspective of having people murdered and then found in our waters. That's totally.
Now that's what's, you know, interesting with these places is that you don't find a lot of natives back in the place that they were born and raised. You don't find a lot of us San Diegan, you know, natives here anymore. It's almost like it's befuddled. So for you being, you know, the captain of Avalon is what I want to call you.
Okay. You want to know what my my moniker is?
What?
Catalina's Google.
Yes, absolutely. To have all that information and knowledge is just fascinating. And that people use that knowledge to, it's a beautiful place, you guys. So if you haven't gone, you have got to go. You've got to look up the Haunted Catalina tour. Look up Chuck. We'll give you their information. I've got it already attached to this, but we'll make sure that we put it out again. If you're going to make a trip out there and you want suggestions on anything and everything or some background beforehand, the tour itself, I had my 12-year-old son and my 16-year-old with me for the Haunted Catalina. It was definitely kid-friendly. It was just this enjoyable experience that we did as a group. But then you hit me with the shocker, which were you expecting this at all?
No. That came out of left field.
Yep. So if we have time, I have a UFO story. And Nicole and I, you know, we're all into the dead people and the history and the psychic part of it and tuning in. But we're like, what? A UFO story is going to come out of this gentleman as well? So there have been UFOs seen over Catalina Island?
Oh, yes. Okay, so you're asking about the programs I was on. Mm-hmm. So I've already been interviewed by the History Channel about this. That was before the COVID. Now, they have three different programs that they do under the umbrella of the History Channel, which is really about ancient aliens. They don't even, it's no more, well, I guess that's history, but I mean, but it's somebody else's history, like aliens. So anyway, what happened was it was 16 years ago in November. It was during an El Nino, it was very warm. So there were three of us, myself, who I had just done a tour for the Wrigley's and an open tram up in the hills, looking down at the lights and playing music and all that kind of stuff. And another driver who had just moved to the island, had just done a tour of the island, and then my friend from the mainland who had not been to the island before. Okay, there are the three of us. So Pebbly Beach is about a mile and a half from Avalon. It's on the east end of the town. And there's a village of about, by the way, I'm just going to quickly tell you something because you just brought up something. They no longer allow babies to be born in the hospital on Catalina. So there's only about 250 of us who live on Catalina, who were born on Catalina. And the numbers are dwindling because they haven't allowed a baby to be born in over 40 years in the hospital because of the high cost of the malpractice insurance for delivering babies. So you might be interviewing the last of the Mohegans. I may end up the last Islander ever to be born on Catalina, or the last native, which is going to make it very unusual. So anyway, I'm going to move on, but I just needed to follow up on your comment about how many of us live on Catalina. It's only about 250 of us. Okay. So we decided that instead of taking bicycles down to Pebbly Beach, which is where we store the buses, and because it was so warm, we were going to then walk back instead of riding bicycles. So we did. So it was now about 2 o'clock in the morning. We're walking toward town. And if any of your viewers know, the place I'm talking about is called Lover's Cove, which is the next cove over from Avalon, the bay. From there, you can see the casino and the town, the first view. And I noticed a strange lime green color up on the hillside. And I know that you people, I shouldn't say you people, but people on the mainland, you have stoplights. We don't have them. All we have are stop signs or nothing. But yeah. So I know that lime green is not the official green for a light. So that was my first inkling that there's something wrong. Next, the thing was oblong, it wasn't round, and it was also at a place where there was no tower. So I had three strikes against it as far as I was concerned. So I shared this information with my two friends, and it started moving, heading, I guess you'd say, toward the casino, which is east. It's the town is laid out very weird, so it's hard, but anyway, it would be toward the casino, toward the mainland. So it started moving, and my two friends said, well, that explains it. It's probably on a car or a truck. I said, there's no road there. So how is it moving? Well, it started moving over. It moved over till it got to the casino and then stopped at about 75 feet above the top of the casino. I am guessing this UFO, this lime green one, was probably around 20 to 25 feet long. I mean, that's the best I could do. It was moving so fast, I didn't have a chance to, you know, line it up with anything. Then it was joined by four more. So now there's five of these UFOs sitting on top of the casino. It got even worse. When 1, 3, and 5 went down, 2 and 4 went up. When 2 and 4 went down, 1, 3, and 5 went up. So it was like a carousel. They all got in unison, and one by one, they headed for the mainland. So I see I have 3 minutes, so I better talk fast. So anyway, I called the sheriff's department to tell them, you better tell the people on the mainland there's five UFOs coming. So I am on the recording, and Hugh Carson, who took the call, the dispatcher, is still their dispatcher. So he will be able to verify what I did. The funny part is they did this demonstration, I found out later, is because they wanted us to know that they knew that we were watching them. We were the only ones in town watching them at 2 in the morning. But when it came time for my friend to be on that program with me, he denied. At the time, he and the other driver denied ever seeing any of this. They said, this is so weird, we will not acknowledge it. I said, boy, I'm going to acknowledge it to anybody I can talk to. So when the time came for Tom, my friend, to come over and be interviewed with me, he said, the other driver and I saw nothing. For 20 minutes, you carried on about UFOs and the lights and everything. We never saw anything, which I told him, that is not normal. You would have said, Chuck, you're joking, you're drunk, you're having a stroke, we got to get you out of here. I believe the UFOs took away their memory because they refused to acknowledge their presence, and they wanted to be acknowledged because they were doing this carousel thing for us. So that's pretty much the end of that story.
So you guys, if you ever want to go to Catalina, this is the gentleman you've got to connect with because of his knowledge, the history, being a native, right? And that was an interesting fact that, you know, we knew that born on the island anymore, but we might be working with some of the last people and knowing some of the last people on the island who were Catalina natives. His tours are phenomenal. Anytime you're looking for something that you need at Catalina, again, you guys, I'm going to put up his phone number on there. It's 310-753-1854. His email address if you guys want to get in contact with him. For those of you that are new, I am psychic medium Jamie.
And spirit walker Nicole.
We are the co-owners of Shades of Spirit LLC. You can find us on Facebook, or we have a website, which is shadesofspirit.com. We will have this posted as well, so you guys can go back and listen. And we are on 50 different search engines for podcasts, which this gets turned into. So you could also find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of those fun podcast search engines as well. Thank you so much us today. Thank you guys for listening, and join me tomorrow night at 5 p.m. for Eye of Soul Radio, where we talk about some more cool stuff. All right, you guys, thank you. You've been listening to Shades of Spirit with me, Jamie,
and me, Spirit Walker Nicole.
Tune in next time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we connect you with your crossed over loved ones, angels, and guides.
And for more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesofSpirit.com. That's ShadesofSpirit.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.